we are God in love. We are beginning a study of the 13th chapter of the book of Acts, and we are looking at who we are as the church. If you're not a person, who are we? So it's going to be answered. This is who we are.
And while they were gazing into heaven as he went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw him go into heaven. Would you bow with me in prayer? Our Father, we thank you for the opportunity to come again before your word, to come together before you. Father, please speak to us. Help us to understand that, not just intellectually, but help us to understand your word at the heart level, that we might live in obedience to you at the heart level. Thank you, God, for what you are about to show us. Lead us forward that we might be the witnesses of Jesus that you have called us to be. We ask in his name. Amen. You will be seated. So we're going to break down these verses into three easier-to-digest sessions. And the first of those sessions, the first is verses 1 to 5, which is Luke's introduction to the book of Acts. 2 years ago, January 2017, we began studying through the Bible, beginning at Genesis and creation, with Adam, who represented all of us, Adam disobeying God, sins, so that each of us is born into sin, and we just go on confirming Adam's choice by our own sin. And we've been looking at what God is doing about that, our brokenness and sin, separation from God. God, who loves us, how God is dealing with what separates us from him, redeeming and restoring us. Moving through the Old Testament, we saw God at work, relentlessly, purposefully, intentionally, working through history, working through promises and covenants and law and sacrifices and kingdoms and nations, and working through real people and real situations in real time, prophets and kings and queens and shepherds and ordinary people like us, which is a big picture of what God is doing and what we need to hang on to. God working to restore what our sin has removed us from, the righteous relationship that God desires to have with each one of us. All of which points forward to Jesus Christ, which is God's redemptive work that Mark invited us into. Right? Mark begins his gospel with the words, the beginning of the gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. The gospel is about Jesus. The gospel is Jesus. Jesus is the big picture, who and what God is doing to redeem and restore us to relationship with him. The gospel is that by grace alone, through faith alone, by Christ alone, we are saved. Those who believe the gospel, who by faith receive Jesus as their Savior, become children of God. This is what Jesus, at the very beginning of his ministry, laid out to the people and called people to respond to. Mark 1:15, the promise fulfilled. All of what's in that Old Testament, all of it comes down to this. The kingdom of God is at hand. I am here in the flesh and blood of humanity. Repent and believe in the gospel. Turn from your sin. Turn to God. Trust God for what he will do, has done through me. And that is what comes next. How we fit into the big picture of what God is doing here and now. And verse 1 invites us into all of that. The writer of Acts is who? Luke. Right? And one of the reasons that we know that is because Acts is volume 2 of a 2-volume set. The first volume, book 1, is the Gospel of Luke, and Acts is volume 2. And so Luke is writing to Theophilus, and he says he's talking about this, that he's using Theophilus to take his gift to the other. That is the
feel is God by the Philadelphia, right? Or the person loved by God. If the author of the father from high rank in the world, he's one of the citizens in the kingdom, reminds the office in volume one, the Gospel of Luke, dealt with all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day that he was taken up. Which includes a whole lot of Jesus' ministry, but specifically here, until he was taken up, Luke is focusing on the 40 days between Jesus' resurrection.
somebody who can help you do this. And how is that? Thank you. Jesus coming back is not about a baby born in a manger or the sacrifice crucified on the cross, but the Messiah, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, our judge and conqueror, descending back down from the sky at the head of heaven's army, coming at the end of the kings, to end the kings of man, to claim, coming to claim his final universal and everlasting kingdom. And when Jesus comes, he's going to touch down on the Mount of Olives in Jerusalem, and it's not going to be a soft landing. Judgment will come. Division, people, some of whom we know and love, apart from Jesus, will enter into eternity and torment and separation from God, and those who know Jesus as their Savior will enter into eternity with him. So no matter what the circumstances may be, hopeless and discouraging as they may be, we need to remember that the sovereign God is in control of what will happen. And according to his plan and his purposes, there will come a day where he will intervene with final judgment. Jesus is returning. Mark records Jesus standing on the Mount of Olives, teaching about future history and his return. And Jesus tells his disciples, concerning that day and that hour, no one knows. He just God things, right? Not even the angels of heaven or the Son, but only the Father. Be on guard. Keep awake, for you do not know when the time will come. See, what we cannot know, but what we are to be doing. The times and seasons are fixed by the authority of the Father. The time of Jesus' return is known only to the Father, not Jesus, not us. And can almost see the Son is standing there next to the Father and patiently asking, is it time? And when the Father says, go, boom, the Son is gone. Assuming an immediate return of Jesus. The doctrine that theologians refer to as the imminent return of Jesus. It's immediate, it's instant, catching people by surprise. When Jesus is coming back, when is he coming? Soon. How soon? Soon. Always be such a soon. Hit it out. Today's very special Mother's Day lunch with Mom at McDonald's may never happen. Just saying. Jesus is coming back. It's not about us having less time than we had yesterday to clarify our checklist of the prophetic events of future history. The urgency is for those around us who are heading through life without Jesus, heading for hell, eternally perishing without Jesus. The urgency is about our living out the big picture plan and purposes of the sovereign God as Holy Spirit-empowered focus and faithful and obedient witnesses of Jesus, even here in this day. Stop staring at the sun. Look at the harvest. Start harvesting. Jesus is coming down. You will be my witness. That's who you are. So maybe there's a parable we can relate to the urgent desperation of those that are around us. We live in a world that is very confused, very fearful, very anxious, where morality is relative, philosophy subjective, questioning. Emptiness or bottomlessness, mental illness is growing. Families are coming apart, children are killing children. Violence is normal. It happens. It's like, okay. In the world, we've got hundreds of answers, and they're willing to follow up even the most bizarre things to seem to offer some kind of hope. But we need to be clear. If God hasn't called us out of death into life and fire, so that we can witness about some self-help program or a better morality or religious philosophy that offers a better way. Let's be clear. Without Christ, without true repentance and life-changing coming to God, God takes response to the gospel. The people around us are spiritually dead in their sins and uncertain trajectory from them. That desperation is what makes our witness of the gospel so urgent. What it means for us to save the world
together. If you see that with life, the best fit need that there is around us is surgically compel our response, which Jesus calls us to do so for Jesus. After the resurrection, when Jesus appeared to his disciples, Jesus told them, he said, as the Father has sent me, even so I am sending you. We are to follow the Son into the world just as he sent Father the Father into the world. The world is to be in the midst of the world, which marks the midst of the world. To be one who has been called and one who has been committed to testify, regardless of the consequences, the individual may reject him and be disappointed. A father sent his son into the world to die. He declared and feeding the gospel. Jesus sent him to witness God. You are a follower of Jesus. What does that look like? We need to order our lives around sharing the gospel. We need to order our lives around sharing the gospel. Be intentional about the situations we seek out and are ready, having a readiness to share. Also, going into the harvest. That's when witnessing really becomes a priority, and that's just something we talk about and pray for. Years ago, somebody coined the phrase lifestyle evangelism. Did you ever hear that phrase? Lifestyle evangelism. It is basically meant that if we lived a real good Christian lifestyle, others would be attracted to that, and so they would ask questions which would give us the opportunity to share the gospel. This is partially true, but way too often our lifestyles are not always exemplary of practical demonstrations of God's work and for His glory. So way too often people around us are left with some big impression of spirituality and the religion is just it's more a trip to you, but it's not necessarily for them. In reality, if lifestyle evangelism was biblical, Jesus never would have left the Father to come to us. The love of God and the urgency of the gospel requires that we intentionally share with others without waiting for them to come to us. They need to know that God, what God by His grace has done for them, and if they will honestly repent of their sin and believe, they will be saved. But they need to decide and so they need to hear. The duty on your Bible in this book, which many of us read, what is the health and spirituality? So there's a list of strategies for organizing our lives around witnessing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so these are on the screen, and they're going to be on the website. They're going to be in the text of today's message on the website. You can write that to that, right? So that's fine. So if you're reading, maybe you can walk and add some stuff to this list yourself. Or which one of these would you adopt for yourself? And post my secret in the same story. One of those same places. Trademark. I love involved in a relationship with the people that are always going to say coming by. When they see us coming by, they go, oh, Jesus, again, And just say they're all going to stand up, building relationships and familiarity with the store personnel and hopefully having gospel conversations. Take one of those pens that we have out there and say, welcome to Creek Side, you're invited to Creek Side, and then say, if you need it there. I want to try. What do you want? This is going to be the 14 mission trip.
just going to get a video. I didn't like about playing. I think you could do that. Maybe, I don't know. Volunteering community organizations to influence the gospel. Hosting home discussions regarding religion as well. Just having people in to throw the topic and discuss. Maybe you'll have a time to feed the gospel into that discussion. Inviting neighbors over for dinner for holiday parties and talking about Christ. Hosting home Bible studies. Hosting Bible studies in the workplace. Join neighborhood clubs, driving clubs, cycling clubs, running clubs, whatever, to grow relationships for the gospel opportunities. Inviting friends to church. Social religious events for the gospel is going to be transferred. They're coming here on Sunday morning to hear the gospel. Galatians, peace coming up, Grand Prix Club, Peace Day coming up, the barbecue on the 4th of July. Those are all opportunities. Take advantage of them. That's why they're there. Those are the words. Bottom line. Here it is, bottom line. Being a witness of Jesus Christ isn't a program we choose to participate in, or some activity that we put on our calendar, or a class that we sign up for. Being a witness of Jesus Christ is the reality of who we are individually and as the Church of Jesus Christ. This means being resolved that all of our lives will be lived in witness of Jesus wherever and however God sees you for us to live as His witness. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Father, I confess that I got myself alone here, but we confess that oftentimes we can hear this and intellectually we get it. But at the heart level, we're not there. And so, Father, I pray that you would take what we're seeing here. Thank you for helping us to get into your word this morning and for reminding us of these truths. But God, I pray for myself as there's each one of the that it wouldn't just end with, well, that was really thought-provoking. But God, that you would stir us out of our comfort zone into experiences that we will have that will teach us at the heart level how to respond to what we know at the head level. And I pray, Father, that while we may intellectually get it, that we are witnesses, God, that we will actually be witnesses. And I pray, Father, for each of us. God, if there's someone this morning you know and they don't understand fully the gospel, I pray they would come and speak to myself, maybe after the service. But God, the reality of the truth of God grace alone, through faith alone, through Christ alone, that's the reality of what He's done for us in the cross and in turning from our sin and keep trusting with our lives and dreams. That's the reality of the human race.